And welcome back. Over three decades, Circus Flora has become a St. Louis institution. Each year, the Big Top became a midtown fixture in early summer. Well, Circus Flora is moving. Not far, but moving. And there are other changes, too. Joining me in studio to talk about it is Larry Mabry, the executive director of Circus Flora. Larry, thanks for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me, Don. I really appreciate it.
I think when I said that Circus Flora is moving, and then paused for a second, a lot of people were saying, oh, no. But it's not that bad.
It's not that bad at all. Physically, we're in St. Louis. We're maybe a half a block away from where we have been for the last 15 years. We used to perform on the parking lot by Powell Symphony Hall. Yeah. Last year, we entered into a partnership with the Kranzberg Arts Foundation to help develop a permanent site for the circus. And it's just a block away. It's the corner of Washington Boulevard and Josephine Baker Boulevard, 3401 Washington.
What is this new site going to look like?
We're still working on that, but it's going to be very exciting. They've already started construction. It's not only is it going to bring home for the Big Top, our administrative offices will also be there for full year round. So they've already started the construction, and they've brought in shipping containers, which is a very new and, you know, economically, environmentally friendly construction material now. And they're right now outfitting with insulation and framing to get the offices ready. So construction container, transportation container construction that will also have a permanent box office, have some on-site storage, and then behind us, the Big Top will be going up in late March, and then it will stay up for a while.
Stay up for a while, but not permanently, or?
Well, it depends, of course, on weather. The plan is to keep it up 6 to 9 months and use it for other events and things throughout the year, but with the main focus being the circus season as the kickoff for that. So when we get into the winter, maybe best to actually pack up that tent and put it back on the trailers as we get into the severe winter season. But since we're moving the show not only a block away, we're moving it a month or 6 weeks earlier than we have been for the last several years.
That's the next point I wanted to get to. What is it, April that you're starting?
We are opening April 19th. That'll be our first preview, our peanut-free preview, which is a special show we do. And then the official opening night will be Saturday, the 21st of April, and we will run through Mother's Day, May 13th.
You're going to be avoiding the summer's heat, which sometimes can be a problem in St. Louis, I'm told.
It has been a challenge to keep the tent comfortable, especially the last few years where we've had some really long heat waves. I know 2 years ago we had 2 weeks straight of 100-plus in June, and even though we have 6 30-ton air conditioning units, they can only do so much in a vinyl tent.
You mentioned the peanut-free inauguration for all of this. I don't want to dwell on it, but it's hard to imagine a circus without peanuts.
Well, you know, that's why we do it as our very first preview. So we keep all of those nut products off of the lot, and we have the tent specially cleaned. We work with organizations that come in and make it ready so that people with severe nut allergies can come and enjoy the circus. And we do a full show. It's just our first public preview performance.
How and why did all of this get started, Larry?
As far as the move?
The whole change.
The whole change? Well, you know, we have in St. Louis developed so many family entertainment opportunities in the month of June. Mm-hmm. And with the weather being a concern, we started to look at how can we find a space that can give us a little more flexibility on when we might be able to perform. And in St. Louis, there aren't a lot of them. So once we came up, we started talking to the Kranzbergs and came up with an idea of how to leverage the tent into something that could be a venue for the Kranzberg Arts Foundation and a bigger venue in Grand Center, then they started looking at what's available right here in the neighborhood. So now they have purchased this site, and we are building it together into something that's going to be really exciting.
It's hard to imagine what this part of town would be like without the Kranzbergs. They've done so much for the Grand Center Midtown area.
Oh, definitely. And especially in the last couple of years with bringing on, you know, the Marcel and the Dot Zack and now the Grandel and now this. And there's other spaces. Mm-hmm. As far as I know, there are other spaces in the works for them. In addition, of course, to the original Kranzberg Arts Center that they that they put there in the old Woolworth building. So they are creating, in my mind, this critical mass of venues that can start to draw even more and more arts organizations. They're providing, you know, collaborative office space for a lot of small nonprofit arts organizations with the ZAC. The Grandel is a beautiful venue now. I was just in there the other day and looked at the set for Hans Brinker and the Silver Skates that Metro's doing, and that's going to be a very exciting venue as well.
Are shows, performances circus floor likely to change or be different in any way as a result of these changes?
Well, we have, you know, we have access to some of the greatest circus artists in the world, and shifting our season may make some of them not available, but will make others available. Mm-hmm. So the way in which we do things, the storytelling nature of our show, you know, the live music, the original story, you know, the original costumes, and then the whole concept will remain the same. That is what we are doing. But it may engender a shift in, you know, how we do our daytime performances. We're working to try and develop school shows so that schools can come in on a Tuesday or Wednesday morning and have a circus kind of history lesson, so to speak, and have great entertainment, something they've not been able to do because we performed after the school year was out.
Sure. How do you go about planning a season? I mean, obviously, you have to start very early, probably before the previous season is over.
That is our goal, is to really get farther ahead on our planning even. I'd love to be planned, you know, a year and a half to 2 years out. You know, we are, you know, planning something for next holiday season already. Still can't quite let that out, but we have something exciting there.
Don't let us stop you from breaking news.
Oh,
on this
I know. No, we don't want to. But there are certain things I have to be careful of. Currently, the artistic director is he's sending out contracts and negotiating with acts, and nothing is signed yet. So I can't really say, oh, we have this and this. But we know who he's talking to, and it's very exciting. But that show development started for next year. It started as soon as last year's show was done, trying to come up with what is the concept, what is the theme, and then start to develop, you know, what might the story be. And so Jack Marsh works on that, and he has been for a while. And then he starts to think about what acts will help tell that story. Then he starts to reach out to them and try and get them in. So right now, we open, well, let's see, 4 months from yesterday. That's very exciting, but it is. There's a lot to do in 4 months, especially with moving the offices, moving the Big Top, getting that all set up, and finalizing the show.
Yeah. How difficult is it to find these acts and performers? I think many people have the sense that the circus world is declining somewhat.
Well, you know, the big thing, Ringling Brothers closing last year, was a big blow to how the public views circus, because for many people, that's the only circus they really know. But circus is everywhere, from youth circuses to one-ring circuses that travel to family circuses to, of course, now Big Apple Circus has gone from a nonprofit to a for-profit. You have a couple of cities that have resident circus like Sarasota and St. Louis. We are resident in these cities. This is where we live. But there are new, I guess, new renditions of circus being done that have smaller acts that tour around in a theatrical type setting. You have Cirque du Soleil, which is another image of circus. So what it's done, and there's circus schools. You know, you have the École Nationale in Canada, and then you have a new circus school in Philadelphia, and you have training all over the country that is creating more and more artists. Now we see a show like America's Got Talent, and you see a range of talents, and many of those are circus skills, circus artists that now. Are those some people that you want to bring in? So we have that kind of access. Plus, we've been around for over 30 years. The people in our circus, the people that are on the artistic side with Jack and Cecil McKinnon and Javi Burgess, who helps with the dramaturgy, they know all these circus performers around the world.
But, you know, you talk about people with circus skills, I certainly agree with what you're saying here, but they can take those skills so many different places. It doesn't have to be a circus anymore.
Exactly. It doesn't have to be. Yeah. And so what we do as Circus Flora is very unique in the whole theatrical storytelling aspect of what we do. You know, in many circuses, a performer goes in, they do their act, and then they wait until the end of the show and come out and wave. What we do is they become a character. They support other acts. So they are not just doing their act and disappearing. They do their act and then they come back in. So we create this holistic environment where everybody's involved from the beginning to the end of the show. And I think that is something that really attracts the performers who are used to just going in and doing one thing. They want to do it a little bit differently. And the feedback that we get from the performers is that the experience they have at Circus Flora is unique, different, and more engaging than many of the other experiences they have.
What sort of influence does European circus have on what we do in this country? I mean, European circus is very popular, at least they always have been, but they're different.
They are different than what we look at as our big spectacle,
right.
Ringling Brothers. We are more aligned with the European-style one-ring circus, very intimate. In our big top, while it seats 1,150, there's no seat that's more than 40 feet away from that ring. So you get that real connection to the act and to the performer. You see the sweat on their brow. You know, if you see the Willendas on the high wire, you feel it. And so that European style thing is intimate, whereas if you look at something such as the arena circuses, let's sit back and be wowed by the wonder and this big old spectacle, but your connection is not the same. So I think that's where we feel it's a much more personal form of circus.
How did the three-ring circus get going? Was this a P.T. Barnum thing, just make it bigger and better, that sort of thing?
Well, it wasn't just P.T. Barnum. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just learned this year. One of the biggest circuses in America prior to the Depression was based right out of Rolla, Missouri.
Hmm.
They had 70 trucks. They had elephants.
Oh, wow.
They had all sorts of things, and their home was in Rolla, but their tent was enormous. I've seen some old photos of this just recently, and I can't remember the name of it. I'll have to look it up and get that back to you. But it was fascinating to learn that, you know, and Ringling Brothers, of course, was before that. But as the cost became, you know, more on the circus owners, they needed to have bigger audiences to help pay for it. My understanding is that's when it started to grow into, how can we get more people around it? Well, let's make the tent bigger, give them more to look at, and we can charge more for that.
What are you going to be able to do here now in the new venue that perhaps you weren't able to do before?
Well, we are looking at what other programs that we have with the community or have had with the community that we might be able to leverage the venue on. Say, if that big top is going to be up, say, from March through October, November, you know, there may be a chance to bring back the summer camps we used to have. Now, that's not happening this year. We're looking at how and when something like that might be possible. There's a lot of things that are going on as we shift this. It also may give us the opportunity to create a secondary show in the fall. Mm-hmm. You know, we're looking at the possibility of doing something like that. So it's not just we perform for 1 month, 3.5 weeks in the spring. We're a part of St. Louis for more than just that time.
Sure.
And that's what we want St. Louis to understand, is that we have been here for 30 years and we plan to be here for 30 more.
What are these summer camps? I'm not familiar with those.
We used to do a thing called community circus camps, and we did it in partnership with, I believe, Craft Alliance and a couple of other organizations. And we would use that kind of a day camp and teach circus skills, which would culminate in a performance.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at that. You know, you have to have the right instructors and the right skill set, and so we're looking into that. But at this point, it's not on the radar to start in 2018. But that's one of the elements that we'd like to do, and then perhaps use that. We can also use the big top to develop acts. We may be able to do that and use that for, you know, creation of new pieces and help us evolve in a new creative way.
Are there still clown schools?
Believe there are. We don't have one, but there's a lot. I know at Circus Harmony, they do some clowning classes for kids and adults. I believe that the clown school in Florida is still there.
So they are still breeding.
They're breeding clowns, and some clowns are just clowns. You can't teach them; they just are. And we have some great ones that we've been working with over the years, and you know. And everyone has their view of what a clown is. You know, you have those traditional white face, European-style clowns, which mm-hmm. is how our narrator has been. And then you also have the white face Ringling Brothers clowns coming out of the cars and doing all the fun stuff.
It's interesting. You hear from time to time about how people are frightened by clowns, young people and older people. There's been a few things going on in recent years where people have been clowned, I guess. They're frightened by them.
Well, I think, there have been some clowns in the media that have...
well, there are more than a few.
But well, and I didn't mean it that way, but even in entertainment vehicles that are directly intended to frighten. I don't know what it is. I know my mother was afraid of clowns. I've never had a problem with clowns. The clowns that we use are not your traditional, those types of ones that people run away from. Our clowns are the entertainers. They are funny. They are humorous, but they're not necessarily in a big white face and big red fright wig.
Is there an Emmett Kelly out there somewhere, one clown that is set apart from all the others?
Oh, boy, I guess that would be more subjective.
Yeah.
There's Grandma at Big Apple Circus that people love. There's others who've been around from circus to circus for years and years. Bello, of course, is another one. I am not as well-versed in clown lore to say this is the premium clown in the United States today.
Are kids still running away to join the circus?
I got to stay here to join the circus. There are, though. Let me tell you, people come and get connected and say, where are you going next to circuses that come in town? Or I know last year, somebody came from California to work on one circus, and they had a break, and they came and worked with us because they were in town, and they'd get ready to go on to the next. It is something. I've been with the circus. It'll be 2 years in January.
Yeah.
And the sawdust gets in your blood pretty darn quick.
It's a real society in and of itself.
It really
is.
It's amazing.
Very quickly, just tell folks once again when the new season starts.
The new season opens on Thursday, April 19th, and it runs through Sunday, May 13th, Mother's Day.
And at a new venue, Washington. The address is
3401 Washington Boulevard, the corner of Washington and Josephine Baker.
Larry Mabry, thank you so much for being with us. Break a leg this season, as they say.
Thank you so much, Don.
Great talking to you.
You too.
Archive versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.